Our scripture reading for this evening that you can find in 2 Chronicles chapter 33. 2 Chronicles chapter 33. Here is the word of our God. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. But he did evil in the sight of the Lord according to the abomination of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he rebuilt the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down. He raised up altars for the Baals and made wooden images, and he worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. He also built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord has said, "In Jerusalem shall my name be forever." And he built altars for all the hosts of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. Also he caused his sons to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. He practiced soothsaying, used witchcraft and sorcery, and consulted mediums and spiritists. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. He even set a carved image, the idol which he had made, in the house of God, of which God had said to David and to Solomon his son, "In this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. And I will not again remove the foot of Israel from the land which I have appointed for your fathers, only if they are careful to do all that I have commanded them, according to the whole law and the statutes and the ordinance by the hand of Moses." So Manasseh seduced Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to do more evil than the nations whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they would not listen. Therefore, the Lord brought upon them the captains of the army of the king of Assyria, who took Manasseh with hooks, bound him with bronze fetters, and carried him off to Babylon. Now, when he was in affliction, he implored the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed to him, and he received his entreaty, heard his supplication, and brought him back to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. After this, he built a wall outside the city of David on the west side of Gihon in the valley as far as the entrance of the fish gate, and enclosed Ophel, and he raised it to a very great height. Then he put military captain in all the fortified cities of Judah. He took away the foreign gods and the idol from the house of the Lord, and all the altars that he had built in the mount of the house of the Lord and in Jerusalem, and he cast them out of the city. He also repaired the altar of the Lord, sacrificed peace offerings and thank offering on it, and commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. Nevertheless, the people still sacrificed on the high places, but only to the Lord their God. May Lord bless the word, the infallible word of him. So dear church family, we are living in a world full of sins. Or I would say a sinful world. As we prayed in the congregational prayer, we need revivals. We need reformation. The world needs it. The country, every country needs it. State, our state needs it. Our church needs it. And also, each of us, we need reformation. Not man-made, but God-sent. So 2,500 years ago, we see this great reformation happen, which is the reformation of King of Manasseh. So today, with God's help, we would together meditate on this passage. We will see God's amazing work and His grace in this rebellious sinner, so that may each of us can cry out for repentance and also pray diligently for reformation. Our theme today is the reformation of King Manasseh. We will address this in 3 points. First, we will see the sin of Manasseh. Second, we will see God's grace in Manasseh. And third, we will see the fruits in Manasseh. So first of all, we need to see who was Manasseh. So he was the 13th king of Judah, the son of Hezekiah, who was a very good king. So we know that when Hezekiah was sick to death, he humbled himself and prayed to God, and God miraculously added 15 years to his life. So 3 years after this miracle, Manasseh was born. And he was the only son and successor of Hezekiah. So during the year Hezekiah died, that was the year that Manasseh began to reign the country when he was 12 years old. Verse 1 tells us that he reigned for 55 years. So maybe you think such godly parents would have a very godly child. However, when we see our text, the reality of this case is totally opposite. When Hezekiah was maybe one of the most godly king in Judah, his son Manasseh might be the worst king of Judah, as it is expressed in verse 9. What he did was worse than the heathen. When his father did was right before the Lord, he did was what was evil before the Lord, like unto the abominations of heathen. You might be shocked as to how wicked and rebellious Manasseh was, as recorded in verses 3-9. I will briefly to go through his sins here. So first, he rebuilt the high places for Baal, which his father had torn down. And he worshiped all the hosts of heaven, served them. It was called star worship at that time, which was practiced by a cult. And he did this publicly, because he built the altar in the two courts of the house of the Lord. Also, he caused his children to pass through the fire and deeply involved himself in cultic practices. He did what the Lord hates. So, ironically, God used those Israelites to drive the pagans out of the promised land, because of their abominable practice. But now Manasseh himself practiced these things to provoke God's anger intentionally. Manasseh's sin was aggravated by the fact that he chose to follow the very worst example. He could have chosen to imitate his father's pattern, to worship the Lord, but he did not. He did not. He chose to follow the pagan practice publicly, blasphemy God's name. And also, his sinful actions were manifested in that he insulted God to his face. In verse 7, we see that he placed the image of an idol in the house of God. He placed idol in the house of God. How terrible this was. It was like a child who insults his parents in his face. The house of God was chosen by God in order that he would put his name forever. But now it became a place filled with idols. And furthermore, not only did Manasseh sin personally, but as a king, he led Judah in forsaking the Lord and worshiping idols. He powerfully influenced his people to go astray. How wretched he was. How wretched the whole country was. His sins are too numerous to record. You may get confused, don't you? You may ask, how could Manasseh do all these evil things? He was born and trained in a godly family at least for 12 years. Both his father and mother were godly people. He should have known the story of his father, that God did miraculously added him 15 years. He should know what his father did to please God. Even though he was 12 years old, a rather young age, he was old enough to remember the pious prayers of a father and a mother, and had arrived at sufficient maturity to understand right from wrong. Yet, he chose to follow the pagan world, to despitefully sin against the Lord. So we can see here the faith of parents is not the ground of child's salvation. The faith of parents is not the ground of child's salvation. Indeed, children are the heritage of the God, of the Lord. They are the blessings of the Lord, the joy of the family. But we need to remember the truth that they are also filthy sinners who need grace of God. They are sinners who need the gospel. Spurgeon speaks here very strongly. He says, unless God sends his blessing with the children, the increase of our families may be the sorrow of our lives. Evil passions and propensity develop themselves in our children with their growth. And if the grace of God does not subdue their sinful disposition, we may have to rue the day that they were born. His language is very strong. Therefore, dear church family, how important are these lessons for each of us today? First, we can clearly understand the meaning that all people are conceived and are born as sinners. If you do not believe in Jesus personally, if you do not regard him as your own Savior, the most precious one, you are no better than Manasseh. You are no better than him. Dear children, teenagers, no matter if you are 9 years old, 12 years old, 15 years old, or even older, if you do not have faith in Jesus Christ, you cannot please him at all. Because the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Oh, I would say in a stronger sense that if you do not believe in him, what you did in the sight of the Lord is evil. That cannot please God. Remember that Manasseh was only 12 years old. Without faith and grace, you cannot even please God a tiny bit. But children, it is your blessing to be raised in a covenantal family. It is indeed a blessing, but that cannot be your foundation. That cannot be your foundation. Manasseh knew this God of his father, but he hardened his heart to reject him. Children, you may come to church hundreds of times. You may have heard the prayers of your parents thousands of times, but the question is, are you weary about these things? Are you more attracted by this worldly things than the Word of God? Children, you have to follow the path of your parents. You have to follow the way of the Lord, because only that way can lead you to eternal life. Do not follow the world. Do not follow and imitate what is fashioned in this world, but do what is right before the Lord. Pray to God. Pray to God to give you a new heart. Pray to God. And second, for parents or grandparents, you should teach your children and grandchildren in the Lord. Some commentators think that Hezekiah might have spoiled Manasseh because he was his only son. And Hezekiah knew that he had only 12 years to live, and thus he spoiled him. But we don't know for sure because the Bible does not speak about that. But what we know is that as parents, as grandparents, you have to train your children in the Lord. Parents, if you do not teach your child, if you do not teach your children the Word of God, then this world will teach them the deceptive principles of this world. If you do not teach them the Word of God, the world will teach them the principles of Satan. And the third lesson is from verse 10. The Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they would not listen. They would not listen. The greatest sin of a sinner is unbelief. Is unbelief. Dear friends, you may think you are not as bad as Manasseh. You may think you cannot commit such evil, sinful sins. However, the greatest sin is unbelief. You may have heard thousands of times of Jesus Christ. You may have know all the correct doctrines, yet you would not listen. Yes, you hear the word, but you don't hear into your heart. You choose not to believe, dear friends. You must come to this Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Do not choose to harden your heart. And also, do not think that God cannot save you because of your history or because of your background. Remember, God's grace is infinitely greater than your sin. God can save Manasseh, who is such a wicked and rebellious sinner. It is by His grace. So, dear friends, come to Him. It's not about you. It's about Him. And now let's see this. Our second point. We will see God's grace here in Manasseh. So Manasseh's sin provoked God's anger. And finally, God caused him to be taken captive to Babylon. As we read this in verse 11, this was the consequence of his sin. Rather than enjoying prosperity of a king of Judah, because of his rebellion, he is now a slave in Babylon. It seemed like this is a punishment for him, but it was actually God's gracious action to save him from eternal slavery. By God's grace, his temporal slavery became his eternal blessing, and his temporal bondage resulted in eternal liberty. God used this opportunity for Manasseh's repentance. He used afflictions for Manasseh's spiritual good. From verses 11 to 12, we can know that it is by God's grace that Manasseh repented to God, beseeched the Lord, and humbled himself before Him, and prayed to Him. What a picture! What a picture that a sinner who has humbled himself by God's grace. Dearly beloved, God often used afflictions to convert sinners and to lead His people to maturity. Why? Because normally people do not see their need if their conditions are favorable. We have to confess that we are prone to forget God's grace when we are in a great prosperity. We are prone to depend on ourselves when everything goes very well. When we can do something by ourselves, then why should we need some else help? We don't need it. As people grow up, we become more independent. That is one of the reasons why Jesus said to the disciples in Matthew 18:3, unless you are converted and become as a little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Because little children depend on his parents fully. Dear children, I think you cannot live without your parents, don't you? Your parents cook for you, take care of you. They help you when you are sick. You depend on your parents. Likewise, God wants His children to depend on Him fully. He normally used the afflictions to remind His children that He is God, who is ruling over everything and who is pouring out all heavenly graces. he normally used the afflictions to cause his children to turn from their ways and return to him. He used afflictions to show his people that they are in ability. What a merciful God we have. What amazing grace. Afflictions are his means to produce repentance, refinement, and maturity. When the prodigal son filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, he came to himself and recalled his father. And when this Old Testament prodigal son was captive in Babylon, he was reminded of the God of his father. He now knew that he could do nothing because he had no ability. He had more time to bethink himself. He saw what he had brought himself to by his sin. He found the gods he had served unable to help him. He knew that repentance was the only way of restoring his affairs. Dear church family, God used affliction to force upon Manasseh a review of his past life, convicting him the mysteries of his disorment and captive condition were owing to his awful and unrepentant apostasy from the God of his father. Today, God still uses this means to bring forth repentance. He used afflictions in your daily life, such as your inward battles between the flesh and the spirit. He used maybe afflictions in your family, maybe marriage conflicts, to cause your whole family come to him, to seek after him. He might use afflictions in the church, such as maybe a case of discipline, to cause each of us to seek after him. He used affliction in the country and the entire world to lead people to repentance. Maybe the war between countries, maybe the natural disasters, the political corruption, the wicked movements. All these things we need to know are under God's control and are used by him to cause each of us to come to him again, to know that we are not able, but he is able. He used all things, all these afflictions around us, to cause us to repent of our sins and to depend on him fully. Dear church family, we need revival. We need reformation. And looking back to the history, we know that the reformation was the work of our God by his grace. And he used the preaching of the word and repentance of men to bring forth the reformation. We need to repent daily, not only for our individual sins, but also for corporate sins as church families, as people of this country. We need to seek after him and pray for God to send reformation, to send revivals. And moreover, when we see the text, the afflictions reminded Manasseh of the time when his parents prayed to Jehovah. And thus, he also prayed. He prayed. He knew from his parents that the God of his father was a gracious God. He knew that God has proven himself to be a God ready to forgive to his forefathers. And we see God's grace is so much greater than his sins. In verse 13, God heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. How quickly God heard him. And how incredible was his restoration. Dear church family, what a God, what a gracious God we have. How ready he is to accept and welcome returning sinners. And how swift he is to show mercy. We have a long-suffering God, and we have such a merciful God. He is the one hesed, loving kindness. Dear friends, if you do not believe in this gracious God, come to him today, this evening. If God can forgive Manasseh, why not you? This is the hope for each of us, that if we truly repent of our sins, we shall be forgiven. And not only forgiven, but restored again to our kingdom. As one commentator says, let us believe that God not only casts away our sins, but restores our souls. How beautiful this is. Come to him to repent. Seek for his grace. His grace is greater. His grace is greater than our sins. Oh, dearly beloved, do not harden your heart again and again, but humble yourself just like Manasseh. Beseech God and pray to him. Pray to him. Maybe you remember your parents. After supper, you will pray together, have devotion together. Pray to him like your parents. Pray to him like Manasseh. Prayer is one of the best means to use when you are afflicted and sorrowful. As Matthew Henry comments, prayer is the relief of penitence, the relief of the afflicted. Dearly beloved, pray to God for his amazing grace, for his amazing forgiveness. Spurgeon says here, if you have a sense that sin is forgiven, you can never doubt the existence of a God, for it will be said of you that he knew that the Lord, he was God. That sense does not come from your feeling, but proceeds from Jesus Christ and his word. If you are to be saved, it must be through what Christ did and not what you did. You must know the Westminster Confession faith that repentance, even repentance, not the ground of our salvation. It is the work of our God. Repentance is the work of our God. We are saved by faith in Jesus Christ. But we need repentance. We need it. But that is not the foundation. That is not the ground of your salvation. You cannot be your own savior. Do you feel that you are a sinner? If so, then believe in Jesus Christ, who came to save sinners from their sins. That's the meaning of the name Jesus. save sinners from their sins. This is a faithful saying. A faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And we can see here Manasseh's repentance was not a temporary, it's not a fake one, but it was a genuine repentance. Why? Because it has fruits. This is our last point. Peter states similarly in 2 Corinthians 7 that godly sorrow produces leading to salvation, which bring forth all kinds of fruits. Manasseh's genuine repentance was manifested in the following steps. First, he had the divine indignation and revenge, so he removed all idols from Jerusalem and the house of God in verse 15. He removed all idols which he built before. Before God's grace and his repentance, he loved idols and sins, but after his repentance, he hates idols. He wants to remove it. He enjoyed his God rather than other creatures. Second, since he had divine fear now, he restored the proper worship of Jehovah by repairing the altar of God and sacrificed offering unto God in verse 16a. He used to worship wrong God, but now after God's grace, he initiated a great reformation that he gives proper worship to the true God alone. And third, being filled with divine zeal, he commanded his people to serve the Lord God of Israel in verse 16b. He used to lead his people to serve the idols, but now, after God's grace, he had a great reformation that he led all people to serve the true living God. Although the people did not listen, as it is expressed in verse 17, but Manasseh had such a zealous and compassionate heart toward them. Dearly beloved, how beautiful this is. Our God can forgive great sin and also can change our heart. He forgive and he also change. True repentance always brings with fruits, as it is written in Matthew 3:8, therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. We need reformation urgently in this world. And God commonly used the repentance of people to bring forth reformation. By God's grace, we need to be reformed individually. We call ourselves reformed people, but we need to continue to be reformed by God's grace. And we need to always examine ourselves whether we have a genuine repentance toward God. When you endure afflictions, all kinds of difficulties, do you seek God's grace and help you to remove all idols in your heart? Maybe some idols have been hidden in your heart for many years. But God is able to remove. Do you beseech Him to renew your heart so that you can properly worship Him in the Spirit and in truth? Do you ask Him to give you a compassionate heart, give you zeal to evangelize to others around you, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ with the message of repentance. Dearly beloved, we as church, we need to humble ourselves before the Lord. We need to ask for His transforming grace. You can do this on your own. As one minister says, the Reformation which Manasseh initiated was proof of the power of God's transforming power, God's transforming grace, only by His grace alone. Ask Him for initiating the worldwide Reformation. Ask Him for sending heavenly graces without measure. Dear church family, we need to have faith in Him, the God who brought forth Manasseh's Reformation, can send it again today. Maybe some of us already lost hope for our country, for this world. When you see the wickedness around you, we have to confess sometimes. When we pray for our leaders, when we pray for our rulers, the countries, we pray that we do not believe in our heart that this prayer can be accomplished by God. We already do not believe all we pray can be accomplished by God. How many times do we not presume deep down in our heart that God cannot do what we ask? Dearly beloved, we need to regain our faith in our great God. We need to constantly pray for Him to strengthen us, to strengthen our faith. The triune God who gives repentance, who gives reformation to such rebellious Manasseh, can also give great grace to others, to the wicked rulers. Do not lose your hope for your prodigal sons. Maybe some of parents, you have prodigal children. Do not lose hope for them. Maybe your beloved ones, your church, your country. Do not be discouraged by your surrounding environment. Pray to the Heavenly Father who sent the Reformation. Pray to Jesus Christ who is governing His church and this world. Pray to the Holy Spirit that He may be poured out greatly upon the sinners. Pray to our triune God. May each of us experience an individual reformation by God's grace. May God send His reformation to our entire country, to our church, and to each of us. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, the merciful God who sent the Reformation, Lord, we need the revival. Many times we see around us, we think, oh, this country has no hope. But Lord, there is hope in You. Lord, raise up more people to proclaim Thy word. Raise more people to be the light and the salt in this world, Lord. And help each of us to have faith in Thee, to pray diligently to Thee, to confess our inability and come to Thee. Lord, we need You. And Lord, we know that Your arm is not shortened. You are the Almighty God. Lord, send Your revivals among the world. Send Your revivals. We need Thee. And we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.